Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. We're grateful to be with you, and we're heading straight into our Startup of the Week feature. Klubi?
Can I introduce?
Absolutely.
Drum roll.
Oh, very nice.
Graham Wellington, CEO and co-founder of Wild Earth Media and Africam.com. Welcome to Future CEOs.
Thank you very much. It's awesome to be here with you guys.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself, who you are, what you do presently?
Okay, well, myself personally, I guess I'm a proud Johannesburg child. I have lived here all my life. I went to school here. I love Johannesburg. I have three beautiful, wonderful children and an awesome wife. And I have a passion for internet businesses. And frankly, due to the fact that I'm unemployable, I find myself spending my whole life as an entrepreneur.
Love that. Transporting people to immense experiences that they would otherwise not or could not have done. Tell us about that statement.
That's a nice statement. Really nice.
It's immersive, really nice. It's immersive experiences. So it's not immense experiences.
Immersive. Okay.
So basically, it's a real simple thing. I really want to allow people all over the world, no matter where they are, or no matter how immobile or how little money they have, or, you know, any of their own personal situations, I want them to be able to experience what it's like to go on safari in Africa.
Stunning.
Or to go scuba diving with sharks in the Bahamas, or to experience our world the way I've been lucky enough to be able to do it. And I want them to not be able to tell that they're not actually there.
Mm.
Now, we're not at that point yet from a technology point of view.
Sure.
We're still dealing with, you know, really old-fashioned kit like TVs and computers and stuff. But one day in the future, I really believe that it will be a totally virtual reality immersive experience. You will not know you're not actually there.
What was the virtual, the VR headset that was just released?
How Oculus Rift.
Yeah, how do you feel about that stuff?
So, yeah, how do I feel about the Oculus Rift? So, I got an Oculus Rift.
Okay.
I play
the
with
first the version or the second version?
I got the first. One. I don't have a second one. Yeah. I've got the SD version, not the HD version. And we have a little kind of personal project that we've got going on that we've been working on for a year, which is to be able to capture an environment live and then transmit that in real time over the internet so that people can choose their own point of view. So kind of like when you play, you know, like a game, you can actually move around.
Yeah.
Imagine there's like a bunch of elephant at a waterhole, and you can walk right
Stunning.
Up and look into the eye of an elephant, which is actually there.
I'm sold. Eh?
Hi, Kyle.
We can't do that, by the way. We're talking about
something
good.
Hi, Kyle. Hi there, Gareth. Hi there, Graham.
Hi, Kyle.
Good to be here,
yeah.
As always.
Let me just introduce Kyle.
I actually got goosebumps from that.
Of course, we have in studio again Kyle Torrington. He is the co-founder of Easy Terms, and he's going to be providing analysis for us again. Kyle, give us a good question.
One thing, maybe I'm jumping a bit forward here. I saw on your website you guys are looking at doing 3D screening or streaming, sorry. Please, can you go into a little bit more depth about that?
Okay, so it's not something we're looking at doing, actually. That's something that we did quite a while ago. I think it was 2010, we started messing around with 3D capture and broadcast.
Sure.
And when I say 3D, what I mean is stereoscopic. So that's like when you go to the cinema and you watch a movie in 3D, as opposed to virtual reality, which is also sometimes referred to as 3D.
Sure.
So this is stereoscopic. Since then, Wild Earth went on to produce more 3D wildlife content than any other company in the world, which we own. We run our own 3D TV channel in Europe and in the Caribbean.
Name drop? Just call it.
ThreeFlow.
Okay.
ThreeFlow is the name of the company. However, what happened was that we really got excited about this, and we were also broadcasting our safaris in 3D on the internet in real time. We were the first people to ever do anything like that. But then the whole bottom fell out of the 3D market. So ESPN and Disney, who own ESPN, they announced the end of ESPN 3D in the United States, and various other television channels around the world started to pull back from 3D until eventually 3D just died outright.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And now 3D, you know, we shouldn't even be talking about it now, actually.
Absolutely. I don't think it's taken up in any sort of media formats at all. I think people have tried here and there, but it's completely failed from my understanding.
Well, it's failed. 3D in the home has failed. 3D in the cinema is doing incredibly well.
Mm. Is it really? So,
yeah, absolutely. Ever since Avatar.
Avatar
kicked it off, and it's rocking. It's almost been a revitalization of the cinema experience.
Completely right.
However, nobody wants to put glasses on to watch their TV
well,
at home.
That's it.
And do you know what it is? It isn't even the glasses. It's the fact that none of us are actually watching the TV nowadays, because we've all got a second screen going.
Good point.
We're all, we're looking at Twitter, we're looking at Facebook, we're checking out our emails. We can't, I mean, my wife cannot actually stare at a TV screen for an hour at all. Mm. And I think 5-10 minutes, and you know, and thankfully she's not listening to this. she won't. And so, and you can't have these, you know, these flunky glasses on and then be looking at, you know, up and down with your iPad.
Sure.
So I think, it's just failed in the home.
You know what, on Future CEOs, we always talk about the importance of partnerships. Now, I just did some research on your team. So well traveled, extremely educated, your wife being one of them. Tell us how it's working as all of those people and who those people are in your team.
And then can I add something else? Yes. How did you assemble such a good team?
What a team.
Well, firstly, let's start with people are everything.
Yeah.
They are everything. And we have an exceptional team. We have an exceptional team at multiple levels.
Absolutely.
As well. So on the, you know, in the management side, is Peter Bratt and myself pretty much on a daily basis. Peter fell in love with live wildlife broadcasting as a viewer back in the days that when I had AfriCam. I started AfriCam. I'm no longer involved with AfriCam anymore, but at that time he started watching then, and he fell in love with it. And he was living in Kuwait, and he would watch it all the time. And then he started chatting, which is what a lot of people do.
Sure.
They chat to each other, and that's a big part of what makes watching wildlife live such a big thing. And he started speaking to this this young lady who lives down in Cape Town. And he's from Holland. Peter is from Holland. And eventually decided that he was going to visit South Africa. And sure enough, Renee, this young lady, offered to fetch him from the airport and show him around Cape Town. They're now married.
That's all it took.
That's all it took. And there are many, many examples of stories of people that have connected over an eagle's nest or a waterhole or a live safari and have gone on to get married. Or become lifelong friends.
Well, didn't you and your wife meet at the migration of... Yeah.
that was true.
What a powerful experience to fall in love. I'm like, oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, we were working on a project for National Geographic.
Shit, baby, that's hardcore. That's
she
hard.
Was my boss. She still is. And so she was the producer. I was directing. We fell in love. We had common interests. She's from the UK. My wife, Emily, she's from the UK. She worked for the BBC in a natural history unit and various others that a whole bunch of cool programs in wildlife, came out to South Africa. We started doing this together. She's still peripherally involved in the business, although she works for the SABC now.
Okay.
She's head of genre for Factual at SABC. And then we have Torsten Hoffman, who is a good friend. He's based in Melbourne, Australia. He's our distribution director really just fell for our concept and helped us a lot. He's does most 3D distribution in the world and now 4K distribution. Will Fox, another Englishman, who is our operations director. Will has got a history which is mostly classified, but that which is not classified, we can
on a need to know basis.
We get on a need to know basis. Will's been there and done that. let's say that. what else we got? You know, what's really important is one of our core shows, the show that probably is the reason why I'm sitting here and talking to you guys, is we do a twice-daily live game drive, safari.
Okay.
We do it from Juma Game Reserve, which belongs to a very good friend of mine, Yuri Mulman, and we broadcast that around the world. We've been doing it since, we did it with AfriCam and then eventually with Wild Earth as well, and we've done many, many thousands of these shows. In the past, we made money by selling advertising in stream.
Thanks for going here, because I was looking.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
How the heck do you make money?
Oh, yeah. We don't is the first answer.
Okay.
And it's been a very long, hard battle. So in the beginning, it was about advertising. And the thing, though, is that, you know, I started doing this in 1998. And that was before you could do streaming. And and it only became possible to put an in-stream ad into the show or any of our broadcasts in middle of 2008.
Okay.
It only became the cost of the bandwidth to distribute the content dropped and the advertising increased, and it only became technically possible to make a profit out of it in late 2010, early 2011. Mm. And still that didn't even factor in the cost of producing the content.
Okay.
So what happened was, this has been a very long, hard battle with a lot of shareholders that have seen a vision over the long term. And today, the advertising revenue that we make on the internet is only about 5% of the actual revenue that we generate.
Okay, interesting.
What keeps that particular show, that Safari, running is the fact that we license those live safaris to National Geographic Television mm-hmm. Channel and NG Wild in the United States,
sure.
As well as also onto their internet platform as well. And this is all about a new concept, which is the rise of something called slow television.
All right.
Which is... well, it's probably been around for a very long time, but the big event that got everyone going was a train that went from Bergen to Oslo in Norway, and it was live broadcast from a camera on the front of the train for 7 hours, and 50% of the Norwegian population logged into that during that time.
Oh, really? Mm. They are very, very bored.
They are. And so now we broadcast live safaris on television. It's called Slow TV. You don't know what's happening.
Sure.
You don't know what's going to be around the next corner, and folk just love it.
Fantastic.
I'm sure. Carl. Going back a bit, one thing that intrigues me, you said that you broadcast internationally. Where is your highest viewership around the world? I presume it's not SA, I would think.
Absolutely. So the viewership has been very consistent over the last 16 years of doing this.
16 years?
I've been doing it 16 years, yeah. Oh. Technically, I've been doing it 16 years in August, on August the 17th of this year. So we're 15 and a half years.
Yeah.
But the viewership has been very consistent. It's 85% North American, of which 80% is the United States. The balance, obviously, Canada. About 75% of the viewers are women.
Okay.
That sometimes goes a little higher, but it doesn't go lower.
Why do you think that is the case?
I'll tell you now, but let me give you some more facts. It's also about 75% again of those women are over the age of 35.
Okay.
I think that the reason why we have always had a female audience, and we're a very female, we don't skew female, we are a female audience. I think the reason for that is because we offer people the opportunity to have a connection with nature, a real connection with nature, as opposed to focusing on sharks killing people or animals or lions hunting. So it's less about the killing and lion, you know, the kind of the blood side of nature, and far more about the connection piece. Also, one of the areas that has the largest amount of traffic every year is the bald eagle nests that we distribute and broadcast in the United States. And there, right now we've got one in Pittsburgh, the Hayes Eagles in downtown Pittsburgh, which is the second, maybe even now, the most visited wildlife webcam on Earth.
Oh, really?
It's the folk of Pittsburgh are, you know, they care more about this, the Hayes Eagles, than the Steelers at this point. I mean, you can't believe it.
But it is. It's an incredible thing to have some eagles in your backyard.
Well, it's the first time that bald eagles have nested in Pittsburgh in over 200 years.
Sure.
And it's really because the Monahue River, which runs through Pittsburgh, which is the home of industrialization in the United States,
sure.
And that river's now being cleaned up, which means that there's fish, which means that the eagles can come back, and they're super proud about it. But then, of course, there's the people of Decorah in Iowa, and there's the people in California with their eagle cams. But the bald eagle in the United States is very popular. But the key thing I want to say here is that because it's a mother and baby story,
mm-hmm.
it's a story about a mother that fights the odds. You know, she's got raccoons trying to steal those eggs. She's got snow coming down. She's got weather coming at her. She's got all kinds of things against her. But she sits there. I mean, we've got one right now in Lake of the Ozarks in central United States, where she is under 3 inches of snow right here as we speak. She is lying under 3 inches of snow, and she will stay there, and she will look after those eggs, and they'll hatch. And so I think seeing a mother make those kind of sacrifices,
maternal instincts, yeah.
a And then watch those babies grow up, and you know, and if you watch that egg hatch live, and you know, you're connected. You know, you were there.
Yeah.
And you'll watch it all the way through to the end. And I think that appeals to women a bit more than men.
Random question now. In terms of all the footage you've taken over the years, I'm sure there are some sort of a highlights package, I would think, of various things that you've streamed over the years. What set of highlights or what footage that you've taken over the years has garnered the most views?
Nice question. We love coming.
Okay, so this is a specific question, which is what I'd call a sighting. So in other words, what event sighting has been the most viewed? And that's very different from saying what cam or stream has been the most viewed. I would have to guess probably either when a raccoon last year tried to steal an egg from the Hayes Eagle Nest in downtown Pittsburgh, which was then carried and covered on just about every single news network across the whole of the United States, which means that piece of footage of this eagle mother fighting off that raccoon probably has been viewed by the majority of Americans. So that could be the highest one. Or alternatively, during just before Big Cat Week on National Geographic last year in 2014, we were very lucky, or maybe unlucky, to come across one of our game drive vehicles live. Came across an impala swimming around Biffles Hook Dam at Juma, and we didn't know what was going on. And then we saw a pack of wild dogs around, keeping this female in the dam. Eventually, she had to try and get out. Sure. When she got out, she was ripped apart. And in the process of being ripped apart, her unborn fetus, which was about to be born, was ripped out. And you could see this baby was struggling and then was killed. It was a very heartrending experience. And that was broadcast on later sightings. I don't know if you've ever had Nadav here. Have you had Nadav in the show? You've got to have Nadav in the show.
Okay.
Nadav Usundriver from later sightings. You've got to have him in. Yes, he's a good friend and has the busiest YouTube channel in Africa. He aired this as well. And I don't know what the exact numbers are, but quite a number of millions of people have watched that particular sighting.
Okay, very interesting. Let's pull back to you and your journey. We are running out of time, and we wish we had more time with you. Yeah, no, we will. Forget them. Yeah.
What's been the roughest and toughest part of doing what you do? You're taking your time, baby. For those, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs out there.
Okay, so Wild Earth for me was my 24th business.
Sure.
Okay.
I've only ever had three businesses that were moderately successful, and I include Wild Earth as one of them. That means 21 failed businesses.
Mm. Mm.
That means that I've had a lot of failure, and learning to deal with failure is the most important thing in any entrepreneur's journey. There's no question about it. You have absolutely got to separate yourself from those inverted commas failures. You've got to recognize that failure is the normal outcome from trying, and you've got to keep on going. If you can't handle failure, don't become an entrepreneur, period.
Absolutely. Seems like you agree with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so the hardest thing is that. But also what's hard is the sacrifices that I and my family have had to make, the times when we haven't had salaries, the times when you know we couldn't pay for things and so on. And it's quite difficult for my wife Emily, if she's listening, to sometimes make sense out of why we make those sacrifices. And it's difficult, for your kids when maybe they can't have quite what they would like, and that their friends are getting and so on.
Sure.
It can pull you together, or it can rip you apart. And it's up to you to be able to make it a positive. And it's how you deal with it. And that's definitely the hardest part. All the stuff to do with nature and the internet and the viewers, that's all fun. Even the bad times are good fun.
Sure.
It's the stuff that no one ever sees. That's the hard part.
Well, give us a couple of hints. I mean, what has helped you to bridge those divides? So, I mean, you've highlighted the issues, but give us a little bit of give us a success formula.
The success formula is one word.
Okay.
Tenacity.
I'm glad you didn't say passions. Everyone says passion.
Passion is what gives you the tenacity. Tenacity is the key thing. being tenacious is like a pit bull who has locked onto a much larger and stronger animal and doesn't let go, even though they don't question whether or not they'll succeed. Because if they did, they will not win.
Yeah.
But they might win if they ignore the probability of winning or losing and tenaciously hang on. So it isn't about your ability to logically analyze a situation. It isn't about your ability to have all the information available to make a decision. It is the drive to do something even though it makes no sense. Tenacity.
Okay, I'm going to jump in there because you've had then 21 failures. You were tenacious, but to a point. How do you know what that point is?
Well, I'm still being tenacious.
Okay.
Because although I consider Wild Earth a success, only because it's still here. Mm. But that doesn't mean that it's a great business. I mean, we've got debt. We struggle. We struggle a lot. There have been times when we've had to shut down our safaris because we just couldn't pay for things.
Mm. How many, four times over the years?
Yeah, I've started up and started it down more times. I mean, ask our audience. You know, they don't know from day to day what's going to go on. And nor do we. You know, we do the best we can. We keep fighting and we keep coming back. Mm. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Nothing else. Oh, there's one other very important thing.
Tell us.
Honesty.
Okay.
Honesty is critical. Because nobody can invest in somebody that's not honest.
Love that.
You have to be absolutely honest with yourself, honest with your friends and family, honest with your shareholders, honest with your staff, honest with your customers. There is no exceptions. And it is, in fact, at the time when you are tempted to not be honest, that being honest counts the most.
Very well said.
It's honesty with no exceptions.
Carl, thoughts? I mean, we really have almost run out of time here.
One quick question. You mentioned that you guys are in both Canada and America. Any other expansion plans?
Oh, no. We're global from a distribution perspective.
Yeah. From a
content production perspective, I've been involved in now coming up on 200 different cameras in just about every country of the world.
Really?
Mm. So the globe is our, you know, the whole planet is our market and our source.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's an absolutely great concept. One thing I do think, or what is great, is that it is harnessing the power of streaming and the internet, and I do feel that because broadband is becoming quicker and quicker, I think the market will only grow, which is absolutely great.
Yeah.
One weakness, obviously, which I think you've overcome, I think it's more of a challenge, and I think it was overcome in your early days, was the ability to stream from the bush. I don't know how you did that. I don't know if there's a lot of underground cabling, whatever the case may be.
One word.
Yeah. Lots of money, yeah. And I think you guys have done well, but I would have thought that would be the hardest challenge from the bush, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, the hardest challenge is actually not that. Mm. The hardest challenge is monetizing streaming. It's a real challenge. It's a challenge that we have. I'm sure it's a challenge that Cliff Central has. It's a challenge that every streaming company in the world today faces. It's not easy and it's hard work.
Sure. Flubi? Yeah.
Tenacity and honesty. I love that. Thank you so much.
Not passion.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Which is what I think I said when I was on the show.
That blew me away. I love that.
Well, we have just been listening to the voice of Graham Wellington, the founder and CEO, or co-founder and CEO of Wild Earth. Graham, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your honesty and your openness and how candid you've been.
Thank you very much for your time, and I love your show, and I love what you guys are trying to do with it. So
you're the
keep
best.
Going.
Thank you. What's up, Carl?
And with that, we end the show. Join us next week. We're going to be talking to, amongst others, the CEO of Accenture about innovation, and we'll see you then.
Love you.